Good morning, everybody, or early afternoon, or I guess, depending on what part of the world you are in right now. We actually have, it's been fun to follow the feed online and just look at some of the analytics and some of the people that are joining us from around the world. We have friends in Malaysia, and so if you are joining us from Malaysia, we say hello, and Singapore, all over Asia, and it's just been really fun to see how our little church service is touching all sorts of parts in the world. It's kind of fun, right? So international audience, here we are, the house church international. Kind of fun. Hey, would you join me in prayer as we turn our hearts to hear the word? Lord, we just come before you right now. Holy Spirit of God, I thank you that you are causing our inward sensitivity, the sensitivity to what you're saying, to be clear. Lord, I thank you that the word is it's a clarion call itself. It's a trumpet. It proclaims and has its own tone, but at the same time, you, Lord, are tuning our hearts to hear what you're saying to us individually. So, Lord, I thank you that there is a corporate word and decree, but that you're so personal with us, Holy Father, that you're speaking to each person. And so I'm asking God right now that you would cause our hearts to be in tune with what you are saying to each one. The picture I had earlier was a tuning fork. If you've ever used a tuning fork, you strike it and then you lean into it and you hear the tone. And when you hear the tone, you adjust what you're playing. You adjust your instrument to come into tune with the tuning fork. We don't ask God to come into tune with what we're doing. We come into tune with what heaven is doing. And so, Father, right now, we're asking, Lord, we're leaning in. Holy Spirit, would you enable each person to come into alignment with heaven? In the name of Jesus, we decree over this gathering, over those who are online joining us, even in the future will join us or watch this service in the future. We decree over this gathering that we are coming into alignment with heaven. We decree on earth, the earth would manifest what it is in heaven. Alignment over us right now in Jesus' name, on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord. So may we come into alignment with that right now. We decree it, alignment over this meeting, that this meeting will be in alignment with heaven in Jesus' name, with the heavens. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, would you release your angels to minister to each one? God, that this would be a personal word and that you would inspire the hearts and people would hear and gain assignment and perspective on their individual life. Father, I thank you that you are always ministering to people. Lord, I'm asking that you would manifest it today, that it would not just be an inward witness, but that it would come outwardly as well. Holy Spirit, that you would inspire even the words that I'm saying, Lord, that it would confirm what you've been saying to people. It would be like a word of knowledge to people. It would speak right into their circumstances, Lord, and you would prove yourself strong on their behalf. I thank you for that. And God, even as we interact with each other, Lord, during and after this service, Lord, that those interactions would be filled with the Spirit, empowered, God, that your gifts would be made manifest, that people would experience you, and that powerful interactions would take place. We thank you for that, Lord. So we just consecrate our time together right now in the mighty name of Jesus. If you agreed with that, you said, amen. Amen. All right, come on. Oh, it is really good to be with you. It's been just personally, it's been quite a week. I'm not sure what your week has been like, but mine has been my experience emotionally. I have felt like a roller coaster. There have been many ups, downs, twists, turns of what my exterior environment is trying to influence my internal environment to respond to. You know, the world, the outside environment, does not need to determine what's going on the inside. It's possible for you to be in an external storm, really crazy stuff happening out here, really bad stuff happening out here, but inwardly, you can take a nap. When Jesus is asleep in the boat in the midst of a demonic storm, it's not because he was an absent-minded leader, right? He had not abdicated. He was not, he was like, well, these boys will figure it out, you know, and as if he had pulled back and he was no longer being helpful. He was right there with them in the boat. However, his experience on his inside, his inward man, was at perfect peace. And so there Jesus is, able to take a nap in the midst of tremendous fear going on around him. I don't know what your experience has been, but the outward expressions, they try to get you to inwardly react. But when you have chosen, when you are rooted in Christ, when you're rooted in the heavens, when your inward man is focused on things above and not on earthly things, right? When you have chosen, I am seated in heavenly places in Christ, I am not going to react to the outward stuff. When you have made that choice by faith, what's possible is for you to feel like you could sleep in the midst of this crazy storm. People around you are freaking out, but for whatever reason, you're not freaking out. And then the people look at you as if you're crazy. Right? Isn't it funny how the world will even accuse, point the finger and go, why, you know, you're not doing this thing. You're not scared. You're not afraid. You're not freaking out. You're not reacting. You're not doing all this thing. What's wrong with you? That, my friends, is the reality of the kingdom, that the kingdom is rock solid. The kingdom is not at all being affected by the storms that are raging around us. So the role of the believer is not to gain our perspective from observing what's happening in humanity. As a citizen of heaven, my job is to look at the heavens, to see what the heavens are aligned with, and then take my life and line it up with what heaven is saying, and basically ignore what's going on around me. When we choose to do that, look at what Jesus does. Jesus and the disciples are freaking out. They're afraid for their lives. We're all going to die because this storm is raging against us. Jesus, don't you care? Jesus, stirred from his sleep, stands up and does what? He rebukes the storm and then looks at his disciples and says, where was your faith? And I think that's the same question this morning that I want to ask you. We have a word, but I feel like the need of this moment, this exact moment right now, is to ask you this question. Where are you fixated on? Where is your faith? Faith is seeing beyond what's manifested. Faith is built upon what you hope for, what you expect. And that expectation begins to form a substance on the inside of you that it builds a confidence, and then that confidence causes you to take actions. And what you aim your faith at is going to determine the choices that you make. And so right now, if your faith is aimed at a demonic storm, then you are looking at the storm, you're making decisions based on the storm, you're trying to predict the storm, and then when you go to take actions, you're doing it in response to the storm. Your faith is predicting its future based on the temporary circumstances. So easy to do. There's not any condemnation in it. It happens. But what the Lord is inviting us to, what you are called to, see, you're a son or daughter of God. You are seated positionally in the heavenlies above all of this. Your eternal reality is far greater than this temporary one. And so our perspectives and what we make decisions based on should be based off of the eternal perspective, not the temporary one. Okay, and how that plays out is that I look at my decisions and I'm not reacting to what's coming at me in the storm. I am choosing to take action based on a greater reality. Now, I'm going to walk you through a process this morning because you and I are called to take action. You and I are called, each one of us, responsible for taking actions. It's just what's determining those actions. What is it on the inside? What is your hope aimed at? What's your faith aimed at? If you're aimed at the storm, then you're preparing for the worst. If your eyes are fixed on the natural, then you are already making decisions to prepare for the natural. Some would call that wisdom. Like, well, Pastor Jamie, isn't that just wisdom? You know, we know this is going to happen, so we make steps to prepare for the worst, right? Yes, it's a type of wisdom. It's just earthly wisdom. As a believer, our lives are based on an eternal perspective, which means our choices get to be rock solid through this stuff. And that's the invitation this morning. Now, I've had lots of interactions with people over these last weeks, I'm sure as well as you have, of people that are really on the roller coaster. And for whatever reason, the emotion of moments, the experiences that are barraging them, their workplace environment, family dynamics, this stuff is really causing people to go through swings of, I would even say sanity, where in one moment you feel lucid and you feel connected and everything is fine, and then the next moment it's like the sky is falling. Is anybody? Yeah? I mean, if it's not you, just elbow the person next to you. You can just say it's them, okay? You're just raising your hand on behalf of them. Listen, everybody's going through it. Everybody. And in those moments, what I have found is that as I'm interacting with those people that are in those swings, that I have a role to play. That it's possible for me to be a steadying force in their life. Right? If my mindset is fixed on things above and not on earthly things, then I'm not going through the roller coaster because I've chosen. See, in heaven, they're not experiencing this crazy storm right now. In heaven, it's rock solid, right? Jesus is on the throne, worship going. It's an awesome light show, like peals of thunder and lightning. It's beautiful up there, right? It's rock solid. They're not going through the swings. And so those of us who are fixed on things above, we find that we can minister to those in the swing who have come under delusion, who are being assaulted right now in the spiritual realm, because this is a spiritual attack. And we have a role to play. Are you alive? Okay, I want to talk to you about a personality, types of people. Listen, I am an action-taking person. I don't know if you figured that out yet. I want to take action. I don't want to talk about it. I don't mind talking about it, but I am very much a let's act, let's get this train moving, and if you want to talk about it, let's talk as we're moving. Right? If you've come up to me and you're like, Pastor Jamie, do you have a moment? Often I'll do this. Yes, can you walk with me? And you're talking to me as I'm in the middle of something. Right? So if you come up for prayer, we're going to prayer walk, okay? Because I'm not going to stand still. There are too many things to do, blah, 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 right? I am an action person. I find myself in moments of crisis intervening. Just my wiring. I have 8 children, and so I've had this experience many times where a child is like taking, they're making choices, they're doing something, and I, in my mind, I am predicting the catastrophe at the end. Right, so the kid gets on the bike, they're heading down the driveway towards the road, right? And the dad in me looks at it, measures the geometry, the timing, all the stuff. I do the math equation for the car that's coming down the strip, and I'm already running after the child to swoop them up and get them before it's even close to the intersection of the road. Now, I didn't know that the child already had the foot on the brake, and it didn't matter, right? That they were prepared for it. I have already picked them off the bike and save them because I am super dad, okay? Just my speed, that's just what I do, right? But some of us see life in slow motion. So you see it happening and you're like, whoa, look at the car coming. And so your responsive mechanism isn't as like instantaneous as mine. That's just how I'm wired. That's a personality thing. Right? I had this experience. This is several years ago now. Eliana, our second child, was 3 or 4 years old, somewhere in that window of time. She was about this old, okay? However old that is. And we had some friends over to our home in Belle Plaine. We're having a fire in one of those like portable pits out front of our house, and people are gathered around the fire. We're having a great time, and the kids are sort of coming in and out of the front door, and I watched my little Eliana take her hand and put it in the door jamb. Everyone's like, you already feel what's coming, right? I watched her put it in the door jamb, and I was seated across the fire, and, you know, I'm seeing this experience, and there's another child coming behind him, and they're slamming the door shut. And there's my little girl's hand fully in the door jamb. And we heard the crunch, the crack, you know, snap, crack, pop of the Rice Krispie hand, okay? Before there's a moment of breath, before there's a moment of reaction, I'm already out of my chair, running towards the door, have the door thrown open, have my hand on top of hers, and I have swooped her up, and I am declaring, in the name of Jesus, this hand will be fine. In the name of Jesus, I command these bones to come back. I mean, it is just like coming out of me before we know anything. Just that superhero reaction, right, of I am going to intervene. I saw it coming, and I know that something must take place. And so I decree the blood of Jesus. I pull my hand off of her hand, and there's not a mark on it. She's mad that I picked her up. She was on the way to roast a marshmallow, and I have just, you know. We all heard the popping of the bones, right? But that intervention in me is decreeing, and I'm standing in the way of the reaction of the what's about to happen, the results of this moment. I am intervening. I am not allowing the cause and effect. I'm not allowing the results to take place. I'm stepping in and deciding, no, this may not happen. And somewhere in the faith reaction, somewhere in the dad response, somewhere in heaven's empathy towards a dad who had just fallen to pieces because I saw it taking place and couldn't get there in time. Ah, right? Somewhere in that response, Jesus heals my daughter. She walks away totally fine, right? That thing, you may not find yourself jumping up from a fire because that's just not your thing, but I can. There would be a scenario. There would be a place. There would be a story that we could lay out where you do react, where you do respond. See, because God's walked you through some stuff. God has taught you some lessons. And so when you see that scenario coming, whatever it is for you, you can predict what's about to take place. See, you've already taken the plank out of your eye. So you have authority, you can see it coming, you can heal that situation because you see it coming. You see the cause and effect, you know that it's a disaster, and you're already intervening. And it's not a case of the personality of being able to react in the moment. It's a case of that you have been there and done that. You know how this testimony turns out. And so you step in to release the grace of God in that situation. Are you alive? Okay, we're no longer talking about personality. See, I'm a person who, when I hear the thunder of lightning striking in the distance and the clouds rolling in, I see on my phone there's a radar of a storm coming. See, I'm a person, when I see the storm coming, something raises up inside of me and says, not on my watch. It's just me. There's this thing on the inside of me that grates against it. In fact, literally, like the tornado activity, lightning, thunderstorms, those violent activities, something in me jumps up and says, you may not cause destruction, commanding the heavens. We had, just one more story here. We're at the Nicollet property. How many have been attending the house long enough to know the property over in Burnsville? It was the warehouse. You came to services there, anybody? Like four of you, wow. I forgive you, it's fine. We were holding an event. It was called the Create Conference. It was an event based on creativity and stirring up God's creativity. And anyway, it was a Friday night, and we were doing a worship event, and we're in the middle of worship when we got this notification on our phone. A tornado warning, take cover, like, it's bad, blah, 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 right? Immediately seek shelter type alert. And the alert goes on the phone, and as I'm reading the alert, the alarm goes on off outside, you know, the tornado alarm. And so I lean over and I grab Steve Smith, and we're running for the door. I said, Steve, come with me, right? So I grab Steve, we're going to the door. Because why? Because, you know, because I'm Thor. because I'm going to grab my golf club and stick it up into the air, and lightning's going to hit here, and I'm going to be more powerful because of it. I don't know why. We just ran at the door. And so I grabbed Steve. We're running at the door. We throw the doors open. And as we throw the doors open, we're looking at the rain. The rain is sideways. There's so much wind. It is bad. The alarm is going off, and it is like we're on the edge of a tornado. It's so violent outside. And we throw open the doors, and we start commanding at the sky. In the name of Jesus, you will be quiet. We command you to silence. I mean, within seconds, to nothing. It was unbelievable. It was so amazing. I turn around and like something is in me like, yeah, you know? I turn around and our guest speaker who had come from out of town to speak at this conference is sitting there with a video on me. And he's like, he grabbed his phone and his videoing the whole time, right? And so he sends me it, and on the comment of the video, the text says, storm killer. I'm like, yeah, that's on my identity. Okay, can I tell you, that is not a personality thing. That is your calling. You are a storm killer. See, we are not those who sit by and watch disaster. That's not a Christian. The call of the believer, an ambassador of heaven, is to make sure that heaven has a response in these moments. That heaven's authority is exercised. Now, again, you might not be somebody who's running towards the, you know, tornado activity. You might not be someone, maybe that's not your thing. There's probably something else. But can I tell you that just because that's not your in alignment with your gifting, in alignment with your personality, in alignment with, that doesn't leave you with an excuse not to do something. In fact, what I want to say to you today is that each one of us actually are responsible. This is Proverbs, if you throw that verse up there, Proverbs 24:11. Look at this. Deliver those who are being taken away to death. Those who are staggering to slaughter, hold them back. If you say, see, we didn't know, does not he consider it who weighs the heart? And does he not know it who keeps your soul? And will he not render to man according to his work? Can I tell you, just because it doesn't feel like you're calling, that doesn't leave you with an excuse not to get involved. Just because it's not in alignment with your gifting, it doesn't mean that you don't have responsibility in it. In fact, what I'd like to propose is that if you see it and you can see the consequence coming, that you have a role in it. That if you can recognize, It doesn't mean you're fully like the only one responsible, but it means you have a role in it and there's opportunity. And our hearts, like God knows you. He knows if you're fibbing to yourself. You ever lied to yourself to try to sort of get yourself off the hook of your conscience? Oh, you know, I'm not sure I really saw it beforehand. Yes, you did. You wouldn't even be telling this story unless you did. Yes, you did. You saw it coming. Maybe it's not a tornado that you're commanding to be quiet. Maybe it's the marriage that you see heading for absolute disaster. Maybe it's the couple that are eating each other alive. And when you see that, you know in your inner man, wow, somebody needs to do something. Oh, I'm sure they'll be fine. And you sort of shut down your role in it. Like, oh, you know, it'll work itself out. No, it won't. They have loaded guns and they're destroying each other. No, it doesn't need to end like this. No, it doesn't need to just, well, let bygones be gone. Well, you know, they've already filed for divorce. So what? You don't think they can rip up the paper? You don't think that something can be done? See, this is the thing that happens on the inside of us. We sort of reserve ourselves back. We go, I don't really have power in that situation, so I can't do anything about it. I'm not in control of it, and so I don't have any role. Nonsense! You're a daughter of God. You're a son of God. You're an ambassador that has power and authority to steward a spiritual realm that is absolutely causing effects in the earth. Do not just sit there and watch it happen. See, if you see it and you can predict the consequences, then you have the authority and you have a role in God. There's a reason you're seeing it. There's a role that you can take. Are you alive this morning? Yeah. What I am saying to you today is that every one of you is called to be a storm killer. It's not a personality thing. It's not a leadership call. This is what followers of Jesus do. We stand up in boats full of people panicking and we command storms to be quiet. Maybe that's why God's got you in their life. When we see demonic storms raging in people's lives, you have authority to shut them things up. We don't just sit there and watch. Amen. 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 All right, elbow the neighbor next to you and just go, I think he's talking to you this morning. If you got a Bible, would you open up to Acts chapter 12? We're going to read a story here. We're going to walk through it, and you're going to recognize sort of, this is an actual story. This actually took place, but we're going to treat it because it points out some spiritual principles here. Okay, this is Acts chapter 12. Verse 1 says, now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. Just pause for a moment, okay? In Jesus's life, he was talking to his disciples one day and he said, boys, I need you to be aware of a couple things. First of all, there is the leaven of the Pharisees. There is the leaven of Herod, and there is the leaven of the kingdom. When he talks about the leaven of the kingdom, Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like this. You take a little bit of yeast and you put it into a lump of dough, and its influence works its way through the whole lump of dough until the whole thing is leavened, because that's how leaven works. And Jesus says to his disciples, you need to be aware. You need to hold yourself back. You need to not allow the influence of the Pharisees and the influence of Herod, because it's like leaven. He's referencing the dynamic of religion and the dynamic of politics. See, the dynamic of religion is this, is that the leaven of religion, the leaven of the Pharisees, is that religion tries to minimize the authority and the power of the average person while promoting a sect or a class of people into authority and power. And it's never you that gets empowered. It's always somebody else. The leaven of the Pharisees, the religious spirit, seeks to disempower people and put power on a class of those who set the rules, who control the narrative, who it always works against your freedom and your ability to change your life. You're left dependent on, you got to do these certain things and then it equals the result. You have to live up to this certain standard. You have to, and it always leaves you lacking. The religious spirit seeks to control and seeks to minimize your ability to be powerful. There's many other aspects to the religious spirit, but that's not the point of the sermon, so I got to leave it where it's at. The influence of Herod, or the leaven of Herod, this is about the political spirit. This is about the influence of the political narrative. See, the political spirit works off of not trying to minimize people's power. The political spirit seeks to capitalize upon the mob mentality. The political spirit makes decisions based on the consensus of people because it's based on the fear of man. So when the people, when the mob is with a leader and they make a decision and then there's favor on that decision, the people all cheer, then that political leader will continue to make decisions based on what the mob is saying, what the people are saying, because it's based on the fear of man. Jesus said to the disciples, he said, don't allow these influences in how you lead your life. You're influential people, you're powerful people, speaking to the disciples, also speaking to you. You are a powerful person. Don't seek to control other people to make yourself more powerful. Don't seek to minimize other people's influences so that you become the special person. Don't seek to control people or control their actions by setting up rules, regulations. See, in the spirit of the Lord, there is liberty and there is empowerment for all. If you've come to believe that your gifting is more important than other giftings, you are delusional. The body of Christ have individual parts, and there is no such thing as one part that's better than the other, one part that's more important than the other. No, there is one head of the body of Christ, and it's not you. It's not me either, okay, just to clarify. Right? We all play a role. It's not the separate group of people that are more important. And isn't it interesting that all just when you think you're getting your stuff together, just when you think you've obeyed the rules, just when you think that you've achieved and you've checked all the right boxes and you're about to achieve the status of that upper echelon of religious whatever, you're about to become the apostle, right? You've completed the course, you've mailed in your certificate, whatever it is. Right? Just when everything, then the rules change. And they always change. And they will always leave you lacking. Because that's how religion works. And Jesus says to the disciples, don't do that to people. Don't play the game. Don't even be a part of it. Don't come under that influence. Don't try to impress others. This isn't how it works. This is not how the kingdom of heaven works. The political spirit does the same thing. Now, why am I bringing this stuff up? Because you are in the middle of a spiritual storm right now. Right now, we've been saying it. We've been decreeing it now for months. This is a spiritual battle that we find ourselves. And the powers that be, there is religion working, there is political spirit working, it's seeking to destroy. Now, in this, if you put that passage of scripture back up there, in this passage of scripture, what we see is this. Now, I want you to just recognize, okay, now about that time, Herod, representing that political influence, Herod's job was to stand between Rome and the Jews. His job was to control and lead the Jews so that Rome was pleased. Rome is the one that's really pulling the strings. Herod was the political power in between him and the Jewish people. Herod's job is to be the king over the Jewish people, to be the political leader over the Jewish people, but he's doing it on behalf of Rome. And so Herod's job is to keep the Jews in line so that Rome isn't displeased. He's just a middleman. And what happens is this, is that Herod the king lays hands on someone that belonged to the church, okay? The political environment began to bring pain against the church. It began to inflict against the church. And can I just tell you for a second here? The political environment is not the kingdom of heaven. Election in November is not determining anything for the kingdom. The political environment does not represent the kingdom of heaven. It operates on a completely different thing. It is worldly. It doesn't mean that we can't have a godly leader. It doesn't mean that you can't have somebody that loves Jesus in an office. That's possible, but that isn't this environment. It's a worldly system of government. It's not, it doesn't represent God's kingdom. And so right now, you currently have a leader who's sort of doing things that is maybe helpful to the church. Because right now, the people in general are for that. But like Herod in a political environment, as soon as the people stop having favor towards that, the political leader will switch. Please don't put your trust in political leaders as if they are going to produce the kingdom of heaven. That's not their job. That's not how it works. The political spirit does not behave according to the rules of the kingdom. All right, and I'm saying this right now, just wait till November. Okay, this is, we're gonna get on this because the people of God have got to be delivered from these kind of mindsets. So Herod recognizes the church is causing disruption, and so Herod lays hands on the people of the church. He even had James, the brother of John, that's an apostle. Everyone say apostle. Okay, this is one of the 12. These are important leaders. He has James killed with a sword, and he saw, when he saw that it pleased the Jews. Okay, what did he see? What did he recognize? This is what Herod does. This is what the political spirit does. Recognize that people, the mass, liked the choice. When he recognized that it had favor with the people, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Why? Because that's what political leaders do. They see something that pleases the people, and they'll switch their tune in a moment in order to align with what the mob wants. This moment of history requires some real leaders. Real leaders stand up and oppose that sort of mob mentality. They stand up and actually have a voice, and it doesn't matter what the mob wants because it's right, and so you're moving something forward, and it may be contrary to what is voted for. Righteousness in the kingdom of heaven, is it doesn't play by the game of the political system. Are you alive today? Yeah. Proceeded to arrest Peter also. It was during the days of unleavened bread when he had seized him, he put him into prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church of God. James is arrested and killed. Peter is arrested. And it's made a spectacle. Four squads of soldiers. Let's make this a public thing. We're going to wait till the feast so that everybody's here. We're going to parade him out in front of it. Why? Because this is politically motivated. It says, but there's one situational difference here. What's the difference between James and Peter? The church began to pray. The church began to pray. I don't know if you have ever looked at this or caught this before, but why did James have to die? Why did, does Jesus like Peter better than James? Does Jesus, I mean, maybe, I don't know. I think Peter has got like foot and mouth disease. I think Peter's obnoxious. But I mean, James and John were called the sons of thunder, you know, and they're pretty loud mouthed too. I mean, maybe he just irritated Jesus, and so he was like, all right, James, it's time. He needs to come home. Is that what's going on here? Why does one of the apostles die and the other one doesn't? See, what happens here is this divine intervention. I want you to notice something, because I believe right now the storms that are raging around us have real consequences. Because if somebody comes under a storm, a demonic influence that's saying, you're going to die. See, we prayed about this during worship today. You're going to die. That headache you have, it's not just a headache, it's a tumor. Right? And that voice doesn't go away. And pretty soon that person is agreeing with that voice. And from the outside, we know, oh, that's a demon. This is something demonic. Right? But that person on their inner man, they're beginning to align with that voice. And next thing you know, see, because they're saying yes to it, because they're opening themselves up to it, do you know that demons will destroy people's lives? These storms aren't fashioned just to interrupt society. These storms are fashioned to destroy people. They're trying to not just disrupt society. Demons hate people and are trying to kill them for real. And so you're like, oh, I have a headache. And next thing you know, you're agreeing with it and you're opening yourself up to it. And pretty soon you have faith that you're dying. And you've opened your life up to disease and sickness and your defenses are down because you've said yes to it. There actually is some life and death stuff going on. It's not just a game. What's the difference between a person living and dying sometimes? What's the difference between our nation coming out on the other side of this victorious and our nation being destroyed in the midst of this big storm? I'd like to propose to you today that we can actually see it in this. Now, I don't know what you think about prayer. I don't know how you frame it in your mind, but prayer is not just throwing hopeful wishes at God, hoping one sticks, you know? Prayer, it's not just your list of petitions for God. Prayer actually has a function. It's real and it's very powerful. The difference between James and John, between James dying and Peter living is that the saints prayed. Let me read the rest of the story for you. Look at this. Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church. Verse 6, on the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door watching over the prison. Behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and light shone in the cell. He struck Peter's side and woke him up and said, "Get up quickly." The chains fell off of him. The angel said to him, "Gird yourself and put on your sandals." So he did so. And then he said, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." He went out and continued to follow him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real. He thought it was like sleeping and he was just having a vision, a dream. When they passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. This is awesome. They went out and they went along the street, and then the angel departed from him. And when Peter came to himself, okay, this is this moment, right? It's a dream. He's walking out there, you know, and then all of a sudden the angel disappears, and you're like, wait, what? You ever have one of these God moments? You're just like, how did this happen? You followed the Lord, and he led you through one chain of events and another, and, you know, and there's just no explanation for it except for God. This is what Peter's happening here, and all of a sudden he comes to himself. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Okay, now I know for sure that the Lord sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod, from all that the Jewish people were expecting." When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who is also called Mark, where they were gathering and they were praying. When he knocked at the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized it was Peter's voice, she, because of her joy, she didn't open the gate. But she ran in and she announced that Peter was standing in the front gate. They said to her, "You're out of your mind." But she kept insisting it was so. So they kept saying, "Well, it just must be his angel." It's a weird story. But it does sort of bring forth a point that I think sometimes when we pray, we're expecting spiritual results. We're not actually thinking it's going to change anything. These are the most spirit-filled believers in the whole world at that time. This is it. This is the group. These are the ones who know, okay? And they did not, they could not get their heads around, wait, we're praying, and then it actually took place. And the connection between our prayers and stuff actually changing. We believe, and I think this is still the case today, that we pray and our expectation is, oh yeah, something spiritual will take place. I pray and I sort of expect, oh yeah, you know, and then Jesus will touch their heart. But I'm not really praying, expecting. And then Jesus showed up and dropped a sack of money off. Boom, tangible result. And then Jesus showed up and gave me keys to the car that I had been praying for. Right? I went to sleep. I didn't have a vehicle. I need a vehicle. I've been praying for a vehicle, right? And then all my friends, they've sort of been agreeing. But, you know, some of them are like, hey, yes, Lord, and give them their spiritual vehicle of ministry. Because really what you need, brother, is a ministry. You don't really need an actual car. No, I need a car. Like, we sort of spiritualize things. Are you with me? Do you understand this? This happens all the time. Because when we're really needing an answer, when we really need something to change, see, there's a tumor there. There's a bulge on the arm. It's a tumor. When we pray, are we expecting the tumor to shrivel up and fall off? Are we, see, I sort of, I've been guilty of this, I know you are. When we pray, we're sort of expecting, yes, of course, we believe that God can heal the person of cancer, but somewhere inside of us, we're not really expecting it to take place right now, the dramatic change. Our expectation, our hope, we get our hopes up, but then we just want to sort of curve our hopes. We don't want to really, really give in to hope, because if we really, really give in to hope, then we might be disappointed. But see, it's by getting your hopes actually up that you finally can enter into faith. You actually have to stoke the fire of hope. You got to go beyond. See, and the result is this, that when you pray, stuff changes. And our expectation needs to stop being, well, it must just be his angel. Okay, so Peter shows up at the gate. The prayers got answered. It must just be his angel. Verse 16, but Peter continued knocking. And when they opened up the door, they saw it was him, and they were amazed, motioning to them with his hand. Shut up, people. Isn't that what it says in your Bible? Be quiet. He described to them how the Lord had led him out of prison. He said, report these things to James and the brethren. And when he had left, he went to another place. Now it came about in that day there was no small disturbance among the soldiers. Herod had searched for him, not found him. He examined the guards and then led them away to be executed. And then he went down to Caesarea and was spending time there. Now, Herod was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. And with one accord, they came to him, and having won over the king's chamberlain, they were asking for peace because their country was fed by the king's country. And on an appointed day, Herod, putting on his royal apparel, took his seat on whatever that is and began delivering the address to them. Do you ever bump into words and you're like, I don't know what that is? Me too. Verse 22, they kept crying out, this is the voice of God and not a man. And immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he had not given the glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and he died. But the word of the Lord continued to grow and multiply. Okay, what's the point of me reading that? The Lord will deal with the political stuff. The Lord will deal with the political spirit. The Lord will deal with the political operatives. What's your job? Your job is to intervene in the lives of the people that have demonic stuff coming against them. Your job is to see when a storm is intervening in someone's life and to get in the way. Your job is to jump up in the midst of a storm that's swamping the boat, is going to destroy that family, and your job is to intervene. Your job is to see a friend who's got cancer and to not stand idly by thinking, well, eventually the Lord will just heal them spiritually. No, your job is to jump to your feet and run at that thing. Swoop them up, put your hand on that sucker and command it to turn back. Your job is to get involved. It is not to sit idly by. And can I tell you, my friends, that your prayers actually change things. Why? Because you're a storm killer. Your prayers affect things. Your prayers release reality of heaven in situations. I don't know what you think about praying, but praying is not just throwing your hopes at a dartboard. Maybe one thing gets answered, maybe nothing else happens. Let me read this to you. The Lord gave people authority to steward the earth for real. For real. It's our job to take care of the planet. Our job. He's given us authority to rule. And when Christians pray, we look at the heavens and we see God's character. We recognize how heaven takes care of things, what heaven's will is, what it would be like if the earth reflected heaven, what heaven would do in this situation. And our prayers declare what is good and what God's will is in the situation. And when we pray in faith according to God's will, the angels recognize the authority of our words. They recognize the mark on our head. See, when you receive Christ, he marked you. You have an insignia ring. Your words matter. And when you pray according to heaven's will and you decree in a situation, the angels recognize your words, see that there's authority on them, and they take care of it. They intervene. Why did James die? Because no one was praying. How many people have to die right now before we, the church, finally wake up and go, whoa, we should do something? What if you are the only believer involved in that person's life and they're on a respirator right now? Can you see it as your assignment? Can you recognize that your prayers actually change things? See, what, in my opinion, one of the problems with the church and prayer is, first of all, we don't believe stuff actually changes. We think about it spiritually, but we don't think that our prayers actually change things. And the second thing is that we pray according to a political spirit, not according to the kingdom. See, a political spirit has this idea that if you get more people that will pray, then it'll change more things. If I just get a million people marching and decreeing, then the million person march is more important than the two or three that are gathered in a living room someplace. That if we just get 10,000 people praying in the same direction, that somehow will change something. That's a political spirit. That's an idea that's contrary to the kingdom. See, the kingdom says, literally, you just need two people to agree according to the will of heaven. You just need two people to agree and decree it, and the thing is done. See, the political spirit has this idea, and I know that the church has come under this influence because there's something in us that just thinks, well, I'm not powerful, my prayers aren't powerful, but maybe if we get enough people praying in the right direction, then God will somehow hear us and do something. All of this is just, it's emasculated us, it's removed power from us, it's these influences have somehow convinced us that our prayers aren't powerful, and the reality is your prayers are so powerful. Can I tell you, I think the demons are scared to death that you're going to figure this out. I think that there is delusion coming at you. I mean, like lies. You are being barraged with lies to keep the church silent right now. I think there is a whirlwind that is aimed at the church to keep us sitting in our pews, to keep us quiet. Because if the church right now would stand up with the revelation of what heaven's will is, and we would begin to declare, oh man, stuff would change. Stuff would change. God put you in your neighborhood. He assigned you to those friends, that circle of people, your workplace. It's you. You have been given the assignment. And so when you hear of stuff going on in people's lives, what should you do? You should get involved. Yeah. It's the call of God on your life, not to sit there and watch it. Not to throw hope at heaven, but to get involved. To declare by faith, recognize that your prayers are powerful. Listen, friends, if you're going through something, don't sit there quietly taking it. If you're going through something, if you're being tormented, if you're on the roller coaster yourself, if it's being dished out to you right now, your life is in constant turmoil, stuff is happening to you, it's just, what should you do? Don't sit there quietly. Don't just go down with the ship. Get some people around you. Ask friends to pray. Humble yourself and ask for help. Pray. Because the righteous prayer, it avails much. It affects much. The prayer of Elijah, the prophet, it says that Elijah was a man just like us, and he prayed, and it shut the heavens up, and it no longer rained, and then he prayed again, and it opened the heavens back up. And this was not Elijah the prophet. This was just Elijah, a man who understood that God hears his voice. This is you too. See, you are not those who sit idly by and watch people get destroyed by the demonic storms that are raging around us. You are those who run at the doors, you throw them open, you point at the storm, you tell it to shut up, because you're a storm killer. I've had this experience far too many times recently, and there's a reason we're preaching this. I'm landing the plane right now. Listen, people will come to me and they'll go, "Pastor Jamie, like this is going on in my life." And I'm hearing them share their stories, and their stories are vivid, and it's painful. Junk is happening to people. Some recognize it and they go, "I don't understand. I feel like I'm out of my mind. Right? This isn't me." And they're sort of recognizing that it's not them. And so it's just coming at them, but they don't know what to do. And I guess because, like, I'm their pastor, that they sort of see me as a lifeline, which is fine. But it's not my prayers. It's not your pastor's prayers that change things. It's just prayer. The prayers of the saints. It's a prayer in faith. And anyone can offer these prayers. You are powerful. If you have people in your life that are facing, if a marriage is going down, if you see a kid that is a prodigal son and they're off in the foreign land, listen, parents, you don't just sit there and watch them go. You don't just go, "Oh, well, you know, we'll see. Hopefully they come back. Hopefully," no. If you're a parent, you are decreeing over them the alignment of heaven. You are going to bat for them. You are warring on their behalf because there's a spiritual battle that's raging around them. We don't just sit there and watch the kids drown, do we? No, you as a parent, something rises up in you. You know this. And so you go after it. Well, my friends, how much more? Can you imagine? These are believers. How much more a non-believer, someone who does not have the Holy Spirit, someone who doesn't have grounding in Christ, what they're going through right now, the delusion that comes at them. What if you are the only believer that's connected to their life right now? I heard a story. It's so powerful. There's a woman who attends our church. Okay? She got COVID. It took it out of her. She went into like the coma type response. She's on a respirator. She comes off the respirator and her memory hasn't come back yet. This person it wiped her out. Okay, the reason I know the story though is because she has a friend. And the friend has been praying. And the friend has been going to bat for her. And the friend has been unrelenting. No, this one is coming back from the dead. No, this one is not going down. She tied herself to her and has been praying and has been stirring up the prayers of the saints because she's not going to just sit there and watch it happen. We saw James die. We're not going to see Peter die. That response has got to come out of us right now. Come on, are you alive in here? Your prayers change everything. Your prayers shift spiritual atmospheres. If you are hearing this responding, all of us though, would you just stand to your feet? But we're closing right now. My friends, you are far more powerful and influential than you realize. Heaven recognizes it. Your angel, the angel assigned to you, recognize it. See, if you're not a praying saint, your angel is bored. If you pray, though, my goodness, stuff is happening around us. If you've come under something today, listen, we're going to pray right now as we close, and that thing is going to pull off of you. If you have friends that are going through stuff, don't just sit there and watch them. If you have resource, if you can change something in the natural, that's one thing. Like, do it. Do good to people. But The spiritual battle is so real right now. It's so real. As I hear people share their stories with me and they're seeking prayer from me, like I said before, the stories that I'm hearing are believers who are sincere and they love the Lord, but something has come against them that is just warring with their mind. It is like they are out of their minds. It's like they're facing delusion, but they don't know what's real and what's not. Waves of fear have come upon people. Waves of fear have come against people. If you haven't experienced that, praise God. Understand that that is the Lord protecting you. But there's an assault that has come against people right now. And I wish I could say this is at the end and we're about to turn the corner, but we're heading into the political system right now. That storm is just starting to stir up right now, my friends. Fix your eyes on things above, not on earthly things. Get your heart and your mind rooted in heavenly things. Don't look to respond to the storm that's raging around you. You gotta come above it. Are you alive? Father in heaven, I thank you for these who are gathered here today. Those who are watching online, are gathered with us in spirit. Lord, your anointing is on their life. You have marked them for this moment of history. You have marked them. They are those who bring deliverance. They are those who speak into storms. They are those who do not allow friends to drown. Lord, these are a mighty army who are being raised up in this hour of history because their prayers matter. They are watchmen on the wall. They are those who sound the alarm in the spirit. They are those who decree and declare in Jesus' name because they are storm killers. Father, I pray that you would grant great and deep encouragement through this word, that you would stir something up on the inside, Lord, that when we walk out of here today, Lord, that something shifted. We're no longer going to sit idly by. Watch as people go through it. But Lord, you have put us in those scenarios so that we can pray on their behalf. God, I thank you for this. Lord, I declare over this church, not another, no more Jameses. No one else dies, Lord, because of these things. We decree in Jesus' name that cancer has no authority in this house. We decree in Jesus' name that this COVID, this virus, and the barrage of fear that's come with it, it does not have authority in this house. Although that weapon has been fashioned against humanity, we decree it shall not prosper. It has no authority. It has no place. In the name of Jesus, we silence the storms that have come against people's mindsets right now, the delusion that has gripped people. God, for marriages that are on the rocks, that are heading towards disaster, Jesus, we decree right now over them the silencing of that storm. Peace. Peace. Holy Spirit, come right now. Holy Spirit, come. By the blood of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, we cancel the assignment of the enemy against you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Father, I do thank you that you have given authority and power, Lord, to your body. Lord, to stand up, to silence the enemy, to do good, to see your kingdom advanced. And I'm asking, Father, that you would raise up leaders among us, people that, Lord, they will not be influenced by politics or religion. They will not be influenced. They see what heaven is saying. They see what is right and true and good, and they live their lives according to it. God, I thank you for that. So, Lord, now I bless your people. May the Lord bless you. I mean, just extraordinarily bless you. May the Lord keep you, that he protects you, and you would not come under these influences, that you would be guarded and kept, that your heart would be held in him alone. May the Lord be gracious to you. I mean, so overwhelmingly powerful in your life, his power demonstrated towards you and rising up in you, and his favor and countenance be on you. You would know what it's like to live under God's smile. You would not be confused at all with what's happening on the outside in the storm. It's not against you. It's not God towards you. The Lord's smile is over you. You are seated in Christ. You are hidden in Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for an increase even of that favor being demonstrated. And then, Lord, I thank you for the shalom of heaven, the peace of God that holds us, that keeps our minds, Lord, held in peace, our hearts held in peace. Lord, this peace that brings wholeness and strength and blessing, God, that it would be upon your people and that everywhere we would go, that that peace would touch other people's lives. God, I thank you for this. Lord, we decree the blessing of the Lord over this people in the mighty name of Jesus. And if you dare to agree with these things, he said, come on, can we give a good clap to the Lord today? God bless you guys. God strategically placed you in the place that you're at. The people around you at work, they need you to rise up as an intercessor. Your neighborhood, your friends and family, they need you to be carrying them in prayer, decreeing his kingdom. Amen. God bless you guys. We love you. Have a great, great week.